Tesrogim on the 14th in the afternoon, right? And then the Chozov Elikeit, and again he went out and he gathered more Tesrogim and Shetovi HaShemesh after the sun set. So, what is the rule? The rule is Ein Tomin Ma'asrin Zeh Al Zeh Lefish Ein Tomin Ma'asrin Domin Echodesh HaMayosham Velo V'Nayosham Lechodosh. We have a following rule. It says that you're not allowed to give Truma. Remember, that's given to the Kohen, right? Nor are you allowed to give the various tithes from, let's say, the fruit that you had gathered before sunset for the fruit which you gathered after sunset, or vice versa, from what you had gathered after sunset and use that, you know, for what you had gathered as in order to, let's say, fulfill giving tithes and so on, right, for what you had gathered prior to sunset. Why? Because you're not allowed to give truma and maasers from what is new in order to help out what was old, nor from the old for the new. Okay, so this is so far a general rule that you're not allowed to confuse the two. And even though it may be only a matter of what? An hour, a few minutes, or something like that, between the first time that he went out picking and the second time that he went out picking, the very fact that when sunset came on Tu Bishvat, that was it. What was picked prior would belong to what? To a prior year. And what was picked after sunset would belong to the new year. So we see that if that's the case, that contradicts a statement that says that with the Esrogim you have to also count from when? From Rosh Hashanah, namely the first of Tishrei. So as you can see, there's a lot of arguing back and forth over here. Each one has his own idea. You know, like members of a shul today. Yeah, because the esrog is a little unusual. Exactly. Do you handle it like a tree or do you handle it like a vegetable?
that
Right. Yeah, this is the basis of the argument. If it were any other kind of a tree, as far as we're concerned, then the argument would not arise. We'll see that even that rule is not 100%. Okay, but this is what it is right now. Okay? All right. So, now they continue. And they say, Hoyso Shlishis Lichneses Lerviz. All right. Now, let's take the case where, let's say, it was picked in the third year of the cycle, just prior to what?
Third year
to the fourth year of the cycle. Okay? To
right.
The fourth year of the cycle, yeah. The okay. Third year versus fourth year. Again, remember, third year, what are the maasers? You have maaser rishon and the maaser shlishi, or maaser roni, right? In other words, the tithe given to the poor. And in the fourth year, the tithing that we are involved is, you know, Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni, alright? So, if it is the third year, and it's just, and it's about to enter the fourth year, then what happens? If you picked it in the third year Shlishis, then Maaser Rishon, Maaser Roni, that's what I said. Then those are the two tithes that are obligatory in that year. And a Revius, and in the fourth year, what is it? That's Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. Okay? So far, so good. Now we're ready for the next page. Starting test 12 on the Aleph right now. It was Ban Shomet. Who took Ban Shomet? Here we are. Your side. Okay, Bob, here for you. Yeah. All right. So he says, Man shamat lei de ozal bosal lekito. He says, whose opinion is it that you go according to when you gather the fruit of the esrog tree, right? So it says it's Rabbi Gamliel. It's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Because if you remember in the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, that we were trying to determine whether Rabbi Akiva was following over there, Rabbi Gamliel said that it's like a yerek, it's like a vegetable, in that you go, you know, you give maaser according to when you gather. Whereas, in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, he says that the esrog is like any other tree in every regard, right? So therefore, it has to be Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. The katani, right? And what did we learn? We learned that it is shvat, okay? So far we think we know the answer. He says, Ela yidmar hochi. Ela yidmar hochi yidmar. But if that's the case, let's learn as follows. Omer Rav Brakuna, again going back to what we had at the bottom of the previous page, let's now reinterpret what Rav Brakuna said. He says, Afal Gav, even though the Omer Rav Gamliel, that Rav Gamliel said what? That Esro Gachala Kito Kiyerek, right, that the esrog, as far as giving maaser is concerned, you have to go after when is it gathered, just as in the case of a vegetable. But nevertheless, Rosh Hashanah Shalo Shvat. When is the Rosh Hashanah? It's the month of Shnat. So they say, so Maishno Hosom Nikotoni. So they say, if that's the case, so tell me, why did you quote at the bottom of the previous page that if it were the second year, right, just prior to the third year, or if it was the third year, you know, or if it was the third year just prior to the fourth year. So he says, well, the reason why we quoted it, because if we accept, I mean, the fact that it's achala kitoso, right, that you go according to when it is gathered, and we said that the Rosh Hashanah for the tree, for the, even the esrog tree, is in Shvat, then in that case, why did they mention these things? It should be obvious. So he says, mirtzagav urche kamashbala. He says, well, from this statement, we learn several other things incidentally. Namely, the esrog, that in the case of an esrog, kashule yoda. People putting hands upon the fruit of an esrog makes it hard for the esrog. In other words, it could be injurious. They have too many people feeling the esrog. It doesn't help the esrog in any way. Okay, it spoils the esrog. This is what he's saying. V'ayde d'mash m'shei bulika alma, right? And because he says everybody is feeling it with their hands, so bashviyis leitoin peri akloshonen says. Therefore, in the case of the esrog, since people are putting their hands on the fruit. And when are we talking about? In the year Shviyas, in the seventh year, you know, because as we said before, in Shviyas, the fruit is free for everybody, right? So if people want to come and they put a hand, you know, they take a look, they say, well, let's see, I'm not too happy with this one, I'll go and try a different esrog or something like that, you understand? And remember, you asked me the question last week also. I mean, we normally use an esrog only for sukkah's purposes. But in those days, an esrog was eaten the same as any other citrus fruit, okay? So it wasn't only used for sukkahs, but, you know, people actually ate it. So here's a case of Shviyas. They're not looking for an esrog, you know, to decorate the sukkah or something like that. But, you know, then they feel like having a fresh piece of fruit. So they go to the tree, and they take it, and they touch it. And then they decide that they don't like this one. They go looking for something. So people go around, they touch it. The result is that it's injurious to the fruit. It hinders the growth. So if this is what's happening in the year of Shviyas, then in that particular case, it's not going to begin producing really good fruit for a period of 3 years. This is what he says. Since I've never raised this rogan, so I can't verify the statement, but as I said before, they were farmers, essentially. Most of them were farmers, and they had plenty of agricultural experience, so obviously this is based upon something in their own experience. Okay. So we learn then, if that's the case of the esrog, therefore, we learn that the esrog is going to remain, you know, and it can remain for a long period of time, and therefore, when are we going to give Maaser of that esrog? The answer is only when we gather it off the tree. That's when we do it, but not prior to that. Okay. So, in that case, of course, it would be a refutation of whom? Of Rabbi Eliezer, who said that it's like any other tree, and therefore subject to the same rules. No, it's not subject to the same rules, because there's a difference with an esrog. Okay. Well, mini Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yana. So, Rabbi Yochanan asked the following question of Rabbi Yana. It says, esrog, Rosh Hashanah Shelo, Emosai. Tell me, he says, when is the Rosh Hashanah of the esrog tree? Omale. So, Rabbi Yana answered him, he said, Shvat. Sure, don't we all know that? So we ask the following question: Shvat the Chodoshim or Shvat the Tekufa? He says, when you say Shvat, do you mean the way we ordinarily count years, or do we mean Shvat and relate it to the season itself? In other words, if we see that, as for example, this year, Shvat is early, because for the last 2 years we haven't had an Ibiyor, right? So Shvat is very early. We see that right now, for example, we're almost through with Tevis, right? And it's only we're only finishing December. I mean, so that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, when is it going to be? Roughly around January 1st or the 8th, I forget. Huh? I think it's January the 8th, I'm not making the mistake, okay? So Shvat is early. If it's early according to the season, isn't it too soon to begin to say that Shvat should be the Rosh Hashanah of it? Shouldn't you take that into consideration? This is the question. So what did he answer him? Yeah. So he said to him, So he says, Shvat the Chodoshim, right? Omale the Chodoshim. Okay? So he says, no, makes no difference whether it's early or whether it's late. When is the Rosh Hashanah as far as trees are concerned? 15th of Shvat, according to the calendar, not according to the season. Okay? Bo mine Rava Mirab Nachman. So a similar question was asked by Rava from Rab Nachman. The Amrle, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yanai, and there are those who say, no, that this was actually like part of the original question that was asked of Rabbi Yochanan from Rabbi Yanai. Namely, Hoyesor Shonem Uberes Mahu. Let's say now that we're talking about not a year like the current year, but let's say it is a leap year, okay? Now, obviously, in a leap year, when is Shvat going to be? Going to be a month later than it is right now. Okay, so instead of being in January, it's going to be instead in February. Okay, so what is the story there? So Amaloi, so he said to him, Haloch achar rov shanim. He says, you go according to how years in general are counted. In other words, again, you go by the 15th of Shvat and pay no attention to as to whether it is earlier or later, because obviously if it's, you know, a leap year, then it's the Shvat following a leap year, it's going to be later, okay? But that's it. You still follow according to what the calendar itself says. So that therefore when we have Tu Bishvat this year, even though it will be in January, right, but still it is still the birthday of the trees, right? It's still the Rosh Hashanah, the new year of the trees. Incidentally, this year it's on Shabbos and Shabbos Shirim, which happens once in a while, you know. So that's why I see that according to the new Kol Kadima, instead of having the Seder that they normally, you know, that was instituted a couple of years ago over here, instead they'll have an elaborate Kiddush, I guess, on Shabbos, a Tu Bishvat Kiddush with, I assume, a variety of fruits or something like that. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava said, Esrog Bashishish and if this is Lishviyis. He says, all right, we were talking before about what? About if it is, let's say, the third year prior to the fourth year, right? Or the second year prior to the third year. We're worried about what kind of Marsha to give. How about the following case, he says. It is the sixth year of the cycle, where, of course, as we said, you give what Maisers? You give Maiser Rishon and Maiser Shlishi, right? And Shenichnes the Shviz, and then it's just prior to the seventh year. What do we say about the seventh year? Seventh year we said that you don't give any Trumas, Maisers, and so on, because, as we said, the fruit belongs to everybody that year, right? So the question is, you know, so how do we reckon at this case? Okay, so he says an Esrog, which is in its sixth year, right? And it's just prior to the seventh year, he says, Petura min ha-maiser, or Petura min ha-mir. He says, we count it, in other words, like what? We count it as if it had been gathered when? In the seventh year, because that's when it's going to be gathered. Since it's going to be gathered in the seventh year, then in that case, there's no miser involved, because as we said, it's free for everybody. And also, we say, the chayeves bebir. It is, I have to keep my eye on the page because several lines look almost alike. And he says also that it is butter, it's free from the rule of biur, which is a very it's a little difficult to understand, I have to tell you that. Okay, what is biur over here? The answer is, of course, that the word biur means literally you get rid of things, correct? For example, when we speak about biur chometz, yeah, what are we doing? We search the house, we try to get it, and then we get rid of the chometz, right? That's biur chometz, okay? Then we have another biur that we've already learned in some prior lessons over here in Rosh Hashanah, and that is what happens on the third year. You have to make a declaration that you have taken care of giving all the misers that are necessary and so, right? It's written, Biyati HaKodesh B'Davayas. I have gotten rid of whatever sacred things are in the house, in the sense, you know, my obligations, my sacred obligations that I haven't fulfilled before. I've taken care of that, right? I gave to the Levi, to the stranger, right? Right? Even as you were commanded. Okay. So, in other words, I've taken care of what? I've given to the Cain, Truma, right? I've given to the Levi, Maaser Rishon, right? I've given also to the poor people, which is the Maaser of the third year. That's why they said at the end of the third year, okay? So that's another beer that the Torah mentions, and there you notice it says specifically Biyarti HaKodesh B'Nabayas. Here, what is the beer that they're talking about over here? So the answer is, when we take a look at the text of the Torah in Parsha Bahar, where we speak about Shviyas, the seventh year, right? So we know we're not allowed to do what? Not allowed to till the soil that year, right? And we are allowed to take for ourselves things that grow, but then it says, but
tiyeh kol tuotzo lefol. That's what the pasuk says. In other words, whether it's your domestic beets or whether it's the under-domesticated animals that you have at home, or naturally in the field and so on, at any rate, all this food that you have has to be available to them to eat. From this, our Chachomim derived a teaching that in Shviyas, as long as there is plenty of food to go around for both man and beast, you're allowed to take to yourself, and you can even keep it in your house in order to, you know, like take it out of the refrigerator and eat, or take it out of the storage room and eat, and so on, right? But when there's no more produce in the field for the animals to consume, then what do you have to do? You have to take your stuff out of the house and make it available to them and to anybody else. You understand? You can no longer storage these things for yourself, but you have to make it available for them. So this is biur, the third interpretation of what biur means. Okay? So this is what he's saying. He's saying over here, and I say it's a little startling, because what he's saying is that it's peturim in amaser. In other words, what is gathered in, you know, in the shviyas, it says, is not required to give maaser, because after all it is shviyas. But at the same time, he says also, this food is not subject to the ruling, that is the esrog fruit. This is what he's saying. The esrog fruit is not subject to the law which says that you have to take and put outside once there's no more left in the field. Okay? Well, I don't know whether that really was the basic reason. We'll have to see, okay, whether that's really the reason that, you know, he makes the statement. This is Rabba's opinion so far, okay? And he continues and he says, Vashviyis, and what if it is a fruit which grew in Shviyis, right? But Shenichtes or the Shminis, in other words, when actually was it gathered? It was gathered in the 8th year, right? So he makes the following statement. He says, Petura b'maser, so it's still, it's a kind of a fruit, he says, which is free from maser, but the chayevas b'bir, but it is subject to bir. That's why I say, even though it's all Rabba's statement, but it's a little bit contradictory, I mean, it's not consistent, right? Why should it be petura in both instances? In one case, and in the other case, it should be petura for maaser, even though you gathered it in the 8th year, and you're treating it still as a fruit of what? As a fruit of the 7th year. But at the same time, you also say that, nevertheless, it is subject to biur, and you have to put it out. So it's a little bit difficult, I mean, to try to understand this difference, okay? Because if we look at the text, we see that there is one basic difference between them. In the first case, the esrog actually had already sprouted when? In the 6th year, right? But when was it gathered? In the 7th year. So, in the 7th year, then in that case, it should be free from both, according to his opinion. But it doesn't make sense, because if it was gathered near, you know, in the Bas Shviyas in the 7th year, and then in the 8th year is when you finally gathered it, all right, then in that case, okay, so we say that it was, being a fruit of the 7th year, was not subject to maaser, but nevertheless we say it is chayevus b'bir. So it's contradictory. So amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to him, look, bishlemor sefer lechumra. Okay, let's take a look. The last part of your statement, he says, I can understand that you go according to a strict opinion. That's why you say what? That you have to give... He says you have to give, you have to engage in beer, you have to get rid of the, you know, the fruit once it's gone from the field, right? El Oresha, Peturim in Abir am I? But tell me why... The earlier statement, you said that it's potter from Biur. Why? Da aminin. If you say it is, because we say as follows, Zil Bosachanoto, you go according to when it first, the blossoms fall and the fruit first begins to appear. So he, Hochi, if that's the case, then Techai B'Maser, then it should be liable for Maser, because if we said before, the first part of the statement was what? Shishis, the sixth year, Hanechneses L'Shvius, right? So, in the sixth year, if it already begins budding, then in that particular case, it would mean then it should be subject to the law of Shishis of the sixth year, which means that you have to give Maser Rishon, you have to give Maser Rani from it. So why this difference? Why are you so why are you lenient in the first case where you said that it doesn't have to? You don't give Maser, right? And you don't, you're not required for beer. Why did you say that in the first part of the statement? When, if it blossoms, if that's the determining factor, then in that case, it should be subject to Maser. Obviously, then in that case, it had nothing to do with beer, because then we have to consider it as what is the fruit of the sixth year and not of the seventh year. Okay. So Amalei, so he gave him the answer and he said, Yala kol mimashmi mipa. Right. So he gave him that answer that, look, everybody has been handling it, and therefore I don't really know what is the true age of this tree. Or I don't know when this fruit will finally be in a position that you could gather it. Maybe you won't gather it until the ninth year or something like that. You understand? So this is why I say, he says, that, it's petura min ha-maiser, and also petura min ha-bir, because I don't know when the fruit will finally reach that particular point. Okay, no mela, as we see, there's a great deal of machlekes about all this, and they're all arguing with each other back and forth.
Come out
and
so it.
Time being, it's hard to say, okay? So, v'rav hamnuna. So Rav Hanuna comes and he says, Omar, he said his father, he says, Bas Shishis, Shenichneset Hashviz. All right, therefore, we have to say that a fruit, of course, here again, we're talking about the Esrog. Esrog, which is blossoming in the sixth year, right? And it's picked when?
For
the seventh year, it says, the Olam Shishis. We have to say that in reality, it is a fruit at the sixth year, okay? And therefore, what? Then it would be subject, of course, to the Maaser of the sixth year, but obviously has nothing to do with beer. On the other hand, we have to say, Vashviz, if it's a fruit which blossoms in the seventh year, Hanechdes of the Shemini, just prior to the eighth year, Liyolam Shviz, it's Taka, a fruit of Shviz. And in that case, what? Then it should be Petura, right? It should be Petura min Maaser, no Maaser would be involved, but what? It should really be Chayevus Bavir. Should be. But if it wasn't picked, how could it be? You understand?
But
yeah.
Salt,
the
Shishi,
the Maaser, it's not. No. Rav Hanuna insists that it counts as a fruit of the sixth year. Even if you gather it in the seventh year, even if you gathered at that time, but it counts as a sixth year fruit, not as a seventh year fruit.
Right. So it contradicts
the Rabbah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right, definitely. Yeah, so that's why I'm saying they're arguing back and forth, and each one has his own opinion, as to what it is, okay? That's what makes it hard sometimes. What the bottom line is, exactly.
The bottom line.
Okay. For the bottom line, I have to refer you to how the Rambam paskens. Okay? If you take a look, you see that little aleph just before Bas Shishis, Shenichneset Hashviz, the Yom Shishis, right? The statement of Rav Hamnuna. Okay? You see that aleph over there? Yeah, okay. That little aleph says, go take a look in the upper margin over there.
The margin. Okay. You see the margin on top? Okay.
Which margin? Right or left?
Left.
margins, you know.
In this case, it's the left. On the previous side, it would be on the right. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. No, not that. Yeah. Okay. Do you see? That it says ion test. Ion test means that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
In this chapter, this is already the 79th law that we glean from the discussion. Okay?
Right.
Then you see that aleph. See the aleph over there?
Yeah.
All right. Every person. So he says that the next word stands for maimon.
Right.
Okay? In other words, the Rambam, right? Perek aleph. That's what the Pei Aleph means. Perek Aleph. Me Hilchos Masa Sheni. From the laws of Masa Sheni. It's in that the first chapter. And it's Halacha Vav. It happens to be, you know, he has it all down in paragraphs, right? So Halacha Vav, right? Yeah. And also he says, Perek Dalet, and also you find the same ruling in the fourth chapter, Me Hilchos Shmita. Okay? Halacha Yudbeis. So in other words, according to the Rambam, okay, then this is the determining factor over here. Namely, that Bashishis and Nichnesus the Shvius, the Yodam Shishis. Or Bashvius and Nichnesus Shmits, the Yodam Shvius. In other words, when the fruit actually begins to blossom, not when it's picked, but when it blossoms, so that we know that it belongs to a particular year, then in that case, if it is the sixth, then it's the sixth year. And if I'm subject to the rules and regulations for the sixth year fruit, and if it's in the seventh year that it begins blossoming, then it is subject to the rules for the seventh year. So this is how the Rambam passes.
So the blossoms before Tu Bishvat,
because
it's the sixth year,
right. It's considered a fruit of the sixth year, correct?
Is this only for Nesrog? This is only for Nesrog.
For the Esrog, right. But actually, you could probably apply it to many others as well. Yeah. You could, and in general, you could apply it as a general rule for fruit. Because of the fact that the determining factor, again, goes way back to something that we had prior to that. When did it take root? And if we know that it took root in this and this time and it blossomed in this time, then this is the determining factor that it belongs to that particular category. Yes. You're not ignorant. These are rules, you know, that you know, since we are in Golis and we don't practice living an agricultural life, so it's very strange to us. And Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, it becomes a practical question.
Well, yeah. My question
right.
is this. I mean, I know they grow extra in California, which is warm, and of course they grow it in the Eretz Israel.
For example, yes, Corfu is very famous as a place where they grew them. In Morocco, Corfu is in Greece.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or Turkey. It's really Turkey. You know, part of Greece and Turkey, you don't know the difference between them, okay? Morocco, they grow Esrogim, right? Now, obviously, if they are grown in Chutz La'aretz, then all these laws do not apply to them, okay? But they do apply to Esrogim that come from Eretz Yisrael. Naturally, we want to encourage people to buy Eretz Yisrael Esrogim. We want to encourage the economy of Israel. Yes?
Well, I guess my question is that what is the growing season of Corfu? Because we usually harvest it right before Sukkot. That's October, usually it's September, October. Here you're talking to the Shabbat, which may be February.
No.
It's a very long time off. Blossoms.
Yeah. Yeah, actually they don't wait till Sukkot in order to gather it. I mean, you realize that. They're probably busy, I don't know when they start in, but several months prior to Sukkot they're already harvesting it and packaging it and so getting ready to ship.
How do you know what a tree is? A tree takes root. If you plant a tree takes root, what?
Well, I guess you have to judge more or less by the development of the tree itself and when it starts to produce fruit.
Does the a tree, any tree doesn't develop overnight.
Yeah, they're correct. But that's why we have to establish a certain date if we're going to apply the laws of, you know, of Orlaw, Revai, and so on. Then you have to establish a certain date and say, an arbitrary date, okay? And say, prior to this date, it's this and this. Okay. After this date, it's this and this. You have to do it, that's all.
So it makes sense to,
yeah,
it's fruit to be guided by the blossom. Because every tree,
yes,
doesn't blossom at the same time.
Yeah. But of course, I mean, trees blossom at different times also. You realize
okay
that. They don't do it. Yeah, okay. And likewise, the harvesting of fruit from tree is not all at the one shot, you know. Yeah, I mean, most of the trees, I guess, you know, you harvest during the summertime. But as we know, you know, from our own experience,
like
over
Argus,
here,
to be out of the certain time, there's another time in Africa.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. No question about that. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay, yes. All right, so this is the opinion of Rabbi Nunu, and as I said, the Rambam is willing to follow his opinion as being authoritative. But I say the Rambam is willing to follow. It doesn't mean that the authorities over here necessarily agree. There's still plenty of disagreement, okay? All right, so, Meisvei, following question was raised. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, he says, Bishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, obviously, you see, there was a Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and then there was somebody who was always known as Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Shimon, without anything, usually is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, usually. So, he says the following, okay. It says, Esrog Bashishis, all right, again, back again. An Esrog which began blossoming when? In the sixth year. Shenichdes in Sashri, says part of the seventh, says, Petura min Hamaser, Petura min Abir, right? That was that first statement that we read in the name of Rabba, right?
Yeah.
That it's Pater from Maaser, and also Pater from the law concerning Biyar. It says, Why? Shein lecho dober shechai ben Maaser, and kein godel bechiyuv. He says, nothing. You have no case where tithing is required unless it grew under a certain obligation, the nilkat bechiyav, and also it was gathered, it was harvested, right, under an obligation. In other words, you have to have both of these things in order to make it both, you know, for miser. To make it require miser, and since it was in the sixth, but yet it, when was it harvested in the seventh? So therefore, according to this opinion, you understand? Then he says, there's no obligation. This is what he's saying: no obligation for miser and so on. Okay, this is his opinion over here. And likewise, vashviyish and ichneses the shminis, and if it's something that blossomed in the seventh, prior to the eighth year, it says peturim and amaser, peturim and abir. It's also, it's free from these. Shein lecho dover shechai bebiur, because you don't have anything that is going to require the rule of biur. Elam kein godel b'shvius, unless it grew actually in the seventh year. The nilkat b'shvius, and was also gathered in shvius. So they say reisha kasha Rav Hamnuna. So the first part of this statement is a kasha Rav Hamnuna. And say for Akasha, and the second part of his statement is Akasha ben the Rabbi ben the Rav Hamnuna. It's tough for both of them. How do you determine it? So he says, you know what? You think that this is now a machloikis? No, he says, Tanoi. This was already a machloikis going to an earlier age of the Tanoim. The Tanya, as we have learned, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, Avtolomos Hayid Bishim Chamisha Zakenim. Avtolomos, who was one of the early sages, so he gave testimony against, you notice, I mean, this is, you know, in reference, you know, to Irios, you know, where they gave different testimonies which were accepted. He says, he testified in the name of five scholars, five Zakenim literally, that esrog achalekitasol lemaiser, right? That the esrog, it goes, this is subject to the rules of when was it gathered, as far as maiser is concerned, right? This is what the testimony that he gave, but v'rabosenu nimnu b'yusha, but our sages had a meeting in Usha, where they went after they left Yerushalayim, so they went to various places, and Usha was one of these places where the Sanhedrin met. The Yomru, and they said, Achalek itaso, you go taka according to when it is gathered, bein lamaser, bein l'shvius, whether it's in reference to giving maisras, or whether it's in reference to shvius. So they say shvius. Where did he ever, they come and they say it makes no difference for Shvi'is. But where did our Ptolemy actually even mention the word Shvi'is? They never did. They say, Mandachashmei. Shvi'is, Mandachashmei. Who came in all of a sudden with a reference to Shvi'is? Okay, we'll do one more line or so, but let me give you the next page. I have to gather from my treasury. Anyway, we're not finished with this, but let's finish the next couple of words, okay? So he says, Chisuri Mesura. Chisuri Mesura means that in the tradition that you have, there's something which is missing, okay? What's missing? So it means this is what we have to supply in order to understand actually what did they mean, he says. Hachi Katani, this is really what they meant to teach us. What? Esrog Achalekitoso Lemaiser. Says, in reality, what they want to teach us is that when it comes to the esrog tree and the fruit of the esrog, there are two different rules that apply. You follow the rule that after you collect the fruit, this is what determines what kind of maisras you have to give, right? And as far as blossoming is concerned, this is what determines whether it belongs to what year, as far as Shvi's regulations are concerned. Okay? For Avoseinu Nimnu B'Yusha, and our sages decided in Usha, that Achalekitaso, instead of following two different rules, let's go by one rule, namely, that you go according to when you actually gather the fruit together, bein lamaser, bein l'shvius. Whether it is for what kind of tithes you have to give, and whether it is subject to the laws of shvius or not. So we'll stop at this particular point this evening. There we are. All right, tonight is the 29th of December of the year 1999. And next year will be their Rosh Hashanah, not ours. Next week, this Shabbos, in fact, right? We are still studying Rosh Hashanah. We are currently on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we are continuing from where we left off right now, on the fourth line of the page. Okay. Gemara continues, and it says, Itmar, we've learned the following. It says, Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Amrit Havayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, both of them, that Esrog Bashishish Shenichtas Olashviyis Liyolam Shishis. So they say that an Esrog, where the fruit appears in the sixth year, just prior to the seventh year. But of course, what is the understanding? The understanding is that when is the fruit going to be picked? It'll be picked in the seventh year. So it's always to be considered as a fruit of what? Of the sixth year, and therefore liable to the various things and the various maestros that you have in the sixth year, even though the fruit itself was actually gathered in the seventh year. So I don't have to tell you that, number one, this contradicts what we've had before, because what it says is that on the third line over there, it says that our sages got together and they said that when you gather it, this is the determining factor, whether it is for Maisa or whether it is for Shvius. And here we're saying that even though the fruit will be gathered in the seventh year, but we consider it as a fruit of the sixth year, and subject therefore to the rules and regulations of sixth year fruit rather than of seventh year fruit. So obviously there's already something that's wrong over there, something that's a contradiction. All right. So Kiyosa Rabin. Now Rabin was a sage, happened to be originally from Babylonia, but he studied all these years in Eretz Israel, so that he would go back and forth, and whenever he would come into Babylonia, so naturally in the yeshivas they asked him, so tell me, what did you, people would ask him, okay, what did you learn? So he came and he gave the following report. He also won Saroma, so he said, Rabbi Yochanan said as follows. It says, Esro Bashishis Shenithis Olashviyis. Okay? If the Esro first appeared in the sixth year, and just prior, of course, to the seventh year, but the fruit actually, you know, ripened and was ready for picking in the seventh year, so he says, Afilu Kizayis. Even though it started out in the sixth year just the size of an olive, in other words, you only see the tiniest bud, right? Then it outsays kikar, but by the time it was ready for plucking in the seventh year, it was as big as a loaf of bread. Quite exaggeration, right? I don't know, I've never seen a nursery that really looks as big as a loaf of bread, unless they made only small brokers in those days, okay? You will be liable for eating this fruit if you have not previously separated all the various trumas and maestros that have to come from it. Tevel means that you did not separate anything from it, and therefore, strictly speaking, you are prohibited from eating this fruit. Okay? As I said, fruit that is grown in Eretz Israel is subject to these rules, and therefore people who live in Eretz Israel and they are, observant, they have to be careful, first of all, about what they're buying, and also, once they bought it, whether they have to separate the trumas and maestros from it, or whether it has already been done by a reliable mashgiach, let's say, in a fruit store, in which they buy the fruits and the vegetables. Okay? So, what he's saying then is as follows, that as far as this fruit is concerned, even if only a small fruit appeared on the tree during the sixth year, you treat it as if it is a sixth year fruit and not as a seventh year fruit, even though you first gathered it in the seventh. So that, of course, would reinforce the previous statement that we said, that you go according to, it would be more along the lines of what we said before, that if you gathered it in the seventh year, but it already appeared in the sixth year, then that's it. So he's reinforcing that idea, contrary to the other opinion that said, in order to escape any doubt, whenever you gather it, that's when you consider that this is the year for it. Okay. All right, so this is the opinion then that he quotes from the name of Rabbi Yochanan, okay? Tana Rabba, our sages thought as follows. Okay. Ilan shechom tu peyosav kodem tu bishvat, bisaser lashodashovra.
Achat Tu Bishvat, Nisasi Lashon HaRabo. Okay. Now this already is a general statement, not simply, you know, as far as the Esrog is concerned, but he's saying any tree where its fruits first began, you know, to appear, and they appeared before Tu Bishvat, then in that case we say that the tithing that will be given from that particular fruit follows the rule of the previous year. Okay? Whereas if the fruit first appears after Tu Bishvat, then in that case it goes for the following year. So whatever the year would be, that would determine what in the cycle has to be given. Okay. Amar Rabbi Nechemya, so Rabbi Nechemya already has some doubts about that. He says, "Tamed Devarim Amurim, what kind of a case are we talking about?" He says, "Be Ilan Sheosus Tei Brechos B'Shona." He says, "We're talking about a tree where you're going to get two crops during the same year." But the term that he used is a little funny. He used the term brechos, which normally refers, let's say, like fowl produce, let's say, two broods of birds or something during the same time. So this is why they make the next statement. They say, shtei brechos al kedatech. What is the connection between using this word brechos, which means a brood for fowls, with the, you know, with the fruit that grows on the tree? So Eloemo, rather he says it's ke'en shtei brechos. In other words, consider it as if it were, or compare it to that fact. But at any rate, what we're talking about, he says, is fruit that keeps on producing and producing and producing, and therefore you have to determine what you're going to give based upon when actually you started to collect it first and when you continue afterwards and so on. But aval ilan ha'osa brecha achas, however, a tree that produces only one crop during a year, kigon is, for example, the column are date palms, okay, the zeisim or olive trees, the charuvim or box trees, okay, carrot trees, afal pi shachontu perisehem kodem Tu Bishvat, even though the blossoms, you know, gave way and the first simon of the first sign of fruit, you know, appeared before Tu Bishvat, nevertheless misasun shana habon, the Meiser is going to be for the following year and not for the previous year. Whereas we said before, you know, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if it appears before Tu Bishvat, even if it's only the size of an olive, small size, but nevertheless, Meiser goes according to that. So obviously there is a contradiction between Rabbi Nechemya is saying over here. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said as follows: he says, "Nahagu ha'om becharuvim ki Rabbi Nechemya." He says the people taka, when it comes to the fruit of the carob trees, they taka follow the ruling of Rabbi Nechemya. Esve Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. All right. So now Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. He says, "Benos shuach shviya shalahen shniya b'pnei shahosas l'shalosh hashonim. He says, "Look, I have a case of a tree which doesn't follow anything that we've had to say, and that tree is the benos shuach. Benos shuach are white figs, special tree, okay, which grows white figs, okay?" It says, this tree, the characteristic is that, let's say, they may have first begun to blossom in the seventh year, right? But in reality, when does the fruit finally ripen to the extent that you're able to begin to harvest it? The answer is, it's already the second year after Shviyas, because they're very, very slow in maturing. So, because these trees, he says, it takes them 3 years before they finally produce a ripe fruit. Okay? So what is the implication? The implication, according to him, would be that in this particular type of a tree, in Benos Shuach, then in that particular case,
even though it's already the second year in the cycle after Shavuos, right? But we count that these trees, you know, first began to produce fruit in Shavuos, and therefore this is when they are subject to the rules of Shavuos. Remember the rules of Shavuos? Well, the chanota is that the buds, you know, fall off from the tree, and they are followed by fruit that first begins appearing. This is the chanota, okay? So, therefore, since they did it in the seventh year, and even though the fruit was not ready for two more years, but nevertheless, you have to treat that fruit, he says, as if it were fruit of Shavuos. Fruit of Shavuos, as we already learned, first of all, you don't have private ownership of it, but at the same time, you don't have to give Maaser and Truma and so on from it, because it's free for everybody, so it's not subject to those rules.
Since it can't be picked in Shavuos, so what does it
mean? Yeah, but okay, but we're talking about, if we go according Acha L'Kitoso, which is one of the rules that some of them propose, right? In other words, you give Maaser in the year in which you first collect the fruit, and that would be the determining factor. So here, if you're going to do it in the second year after Shavuos, you know, then obviously we would have to say that it's subject to second year and not, but that's not the ruling in this particular case because it's an exception. Okay. No, Mela, this is what Reish Lakish is asking Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. So Ishtik, so Rabbi Yochanan was silent. He didn't say anything. In other words, he didn't give any answer. In other words, we always say in English, what? A silent gives assent, right? In other words, yeah, you're right, right? But, so this is what they're questioning. So, Amalei Rabbi Abba HaKohen LeRabbi Yossi HaKohen. So, Rabbi Abba, the Kohens, asked Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, he says, am I Ishtik? Tell me, why was he silent? He could have had a good answer to give him back. Lei Molei, why couldn't he have said to him, Aminu Lecha Ano, right? I'm telling you what I say, right? Rabbi Nechemya. So I say to you, you know, this is how I understand what Rabbi Nechemya had to say. The Atamit Li Rabbanan, and you give me an answer of the Rabbanan, namely what? That according to the Rabbanan, you go according to when you gather the fruit, right? So, right? So that therefore, you know, be a contradictory. So he says, Mishum Dom Alei Shavak Rabbanan, because he says to him, you have deserted the ruling of the Rabbanan, the Avadat to Rabbi Nechemya, and you worked, and you acted only according to the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, who is what? An individual. Now, usually we have the ruling that if you have Yochid the Rabbi, that when there are two differences, you know, there's a difference of opinion between a single authority and the many, that normally what do? We follow the ruling of the many, the rabbi. Okay. I have to tell you, though, it doesn't always work that way. Okay. Because then we look to see, you know, if there are other things, you know, that may throw a different light upon the subject, so that maybe talking the opinion of the individual is talking much more cogent, and this is what we follow. So that's why. But at any rate, this is the argument that he's giving him right now. So the lame alay, so why couldn't he say to him, Ka amin aloch, I said to you, Nohagu, right? The people are accustomed to doing. This is a minhag that they have, right? The Atamat Li Isura, and you're telling me about Isura, about something which is prohibited. Now, the custom would be what? Custom would be that in the case of the, you know, the carob trees, then what? Then if it's before Tu Bishvat, they say Misasin Shana Habo, even though the, you know, the blossoms appear. That is, even though the first part of the fruit appears before Tu Bishvat, but nevertheless we say that we go according to the year in which we're going to pick it, which is, would be, of course, the year following Tu Bishvat. Okay? And Shavuos, therefore, what? Shavuos should be observed then according to when actually the seventh year is. But, you know, I'm talking about one thing and you're talking to me about another. So he says, the Omalei, so he said to him, B'mekol misuro kinohagu shavkinen, he says, when we have something which is prohibited, we take a look and see what is the Olam itself doing. Now, I don't want to go into the intricacies over here, but simply to suggest as follows. We have in Yiddish an expression which says that a minhog brecht adin. English translation, that there are times, I mean, that the law may state this and this, but the custom of the people is not to follow the law, but, you know, whatever the custom is. You understand? So, and in that particular case, we also say we don't disregard the importance of a custom, because in many cases, the custom of the people is, you know, has almost the same validity as if it were a din. So he says, I'm telling you what people are accustomed to doing. They follow, you know, this particular opinion of Rabbi Nachem, so he said, let them follow it, right. So he could have given another explanation, another reason. He says, Ki amina l'cho ano maser charuvim derabonim. I could have said to you another thing. He says, you know, we're talking about carob fruit. He says, in the Torah, do they mention that you give tithes of carobs? No. What does the Torah have to say? Torah says that you give maser, right, masad, gondcho, teroshcho, v'yitzarecho. This is what the Torah has to say, which means that maser, as far as the Torah law is concerned, is the gondcho, in other words, from grains, teroshcho, that would be the wine, and the yitzarecha, and the oil of the olives. This is where, according to the Torah, you know, you give maaser. Any other maasers that are given, and you know, they gave from vegetables, they gave from other fruits, and so on. He says, but in the final analysis, that's the rabbanon. These were rabbinically ordained, and they were not, you know, Torah mandated. Okay, so that therefore, in this particular case, if this is what the people do as far as, you know, Chavruim, as far as Arabs are concerned, so, okay. Because in the final analysis, it is not a biblically ordained Maaser. Okay? V'yat amrat li shviis d'oraisa, but you are arguing with me that shviis is a ruling of what? Of the Torah, which is true, but on the other hand, it doesn't apply to everything. Sure, you have to observe shviis, but shviis in what respect? So, question is, you know, you have to go according to what the situation is. Elo Rabbi Abba Kohen, so rather, reference to this conversation, Rabbi Abba Kohen said as follows. He says to me, honey, says, you know, I wonder, im he shiva reish lakish the chuvazu. I wonder whether Reish Lakish really gave an answer for this. Im he shiva, right, ho osma. If he answered, then okay, then maybe he gave a teretz too. Elo emo, but I'm interested, he says as follows. Im kibla Rabbi Yochanan lo kibla. Whether Rabbi Yochanan accepted Reish Lakish's opinion or not. Okay, so this obviously is up in the air. You notice that there's no indication of any halacha, except that it says, and that is accepted. So in other words, the minhag here, taka, follows Rabbi Nechemya, and we're not arguing about whether, about shviis. Okay. Now, we are ready now to tackle the new Mishnah, okay, which begins on Tez Zayin Omed Aleph. Until now, if you remember, basically all the discussion of all these pages centered around the fact that how many Rosh Hashanahs are there, right? And what are the specific dates of the various Rosh Hashanahs? First of Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah, right? And the first of Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah, the first of Elul is a Rosh Hashanah, and either the first or the 15th of Shvat is a Rosh Hashanah. And then during the course of the discussion of it, so we came around to the fact that there are even some who suggest that there are even more Rosh Hashanahs. Okay? But,
officially,
officially there are four. One was of the opinion we could condense it to three, another one said we could expand it to five, right? But the Mishnah itself, it was of the opinion that we have four different dates that we call Rosh Hashanah, okay? And they are Rosh Hashanah for various purposes, as we saw the first one for the first of Nisan. Well, that we saw is important not only as far as determining the reign of kings, right, what year of the reign it is to establish, but also we learned that it has to deal with shtoros, with, you know, people writing, various notes, as for example for a loan and something like that, how to date that particular one, because the custom was to show honor to the king by having the year of the reign mentioned. And then, of course, we came across the fact that there's a discussion as to, right, is it apply only to Jewish kings, or does it apply to non-Jewish kings? But in general, we came to the conclusion that non-Jewish kings, the dating would be the Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei. Okay. But there was an opinion that said that even for Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings, it would be the same thing. We also, at that same time, spent pages on the sanctity of a pledged word. What was the occasion? If you make a vow, right, that you're going to bring this and this to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to give a neder, a betova, and something to the Beis HaMikdash, so how much time do you have before you violate the ruling of Lo Sa'ache L'Shalmo, right? You shall not delay in paying it. So we learned that the word that you pledge is very, very important. You have to bear in mind that even if the Torah gives you an extended amount of time, but nevertheless, the mitzvah is to try to do it as fast as you possibly can to fulfill your vow. Okay. And then, of course, we dealt with some of the other inyanim, as, for example, Maser Behemah, right? In other words, the tithing of the animals as to what would be the determining date in that case. Would it be the first of El, or would it be the first of Tishrei? We have two different opinions that we learned. Okay, Mishnah mentions the first of Elul, but remember that's the opinion of the person who is the author of the Mishnah. But we had an alternative suggestion that said that it would be the first of Tishrei. And then, of course, the role of the first of Tishrei in determining, Rosh Hashanah as far as, Shviyas. Right, what is the seventh year? When is the beginning of the seventh year? Yovlois, when is the beginning, since we have to count? And then when is the year of Yovel begin? And about that we saw that while the Torah stresses the 10th of Tishrei, in other words, Yom Kippur, right, as the time when slaves were freed and they were able to go home and so on and so forth, but the opinion is that actually the year of Yovel began with Rosh Hashanah, so therefore what did the slaves do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? They lived a good life, right? The master fed them, took care of them, they didn't have to do any work, they were on relief or something. So this was the kind of life that they had at that particular time. Okay. And then, of course, we came to the last Rosh Hashanah, which was mentioned, namely, should it be the first of Shvat according to Beis Shammai, or two Beis Shvat according to Beis Hillel? And we see that in all the discussion that we have as to how to calculate the years, is it, whether it's for the purpose of Meiser, whether it's the purpose of determining the Truma, and things like that, that have to be given, that as we see, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, and that's the reason why, for the past few pages, they've been having a discussion about if the fruit appeared before Tu Bishvat, right? Then how do you determine as to how to treat that particular fruit? As if it had already grown before Tu Bishvat, and therefore the Maaser would have to be from the previous year? Or do we go according to after the fruit is plucked, gathered together, in which case it would be after Tu Bishvat, obviously, and it would go according to the following year? So, we see that this is like a football that they've been tossing back and forth, between one authority and another. Okay, so this is what we had until now. Now we come to the next Mishnah, which deals with another aspect of the year. The Mishnah begins by saying, "Bi'avot rokim ho'ilam nidon." There are four junctions, I guess would be about the best translation, in the course of the year when the world is judged. Okay? B'Pesach al Hatzua. Pesach, the judgment is, Okay. What are these four different occasions during the course of the year? So the first one that is mentioned is the Pesach, on the Pesach, on the holiday of Pesach, Al Hatua. Judgment is passed concerning the grain that will be grown. Whether it's, well, we'll see, you know, the implication over here would be that judgment is passed right now, that it's on Pesach, to determine what the crop of the following year, the following Pesach, will be. Will it be a good crop, or will it, chas v'shalom, you know, be a poor crop? Okay. So that's as far as grain is concerned. Batzeres, which means always on, always means Shavuos. Atzeres in the Mishnah, Talmud, normally means Shavuos, okay? So on the holiday of Shavuos, al peros ha'ilon, judgment is passed concerning the fruit of the tree. Will the fruit be a good harvest or poor harvest or whatever it may be? Will it be subject to various diseases or not? This judgment is made by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on the holiday of Shavuos. The Rosh Hashanah, and here of course he means the Rosh Hashanah with the first day of Tishrei, right? Kol boi olam ovelim fonov kivnei moron. All those who have come into the world, in other words, all living human beings, right, passed before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, like B'nai Moron. Now the question is, what is B'nai Moron? We'll see that in Gemara. There's going to be a discussion as to what specifically it means, but of course what it means in general is that every living being is judged by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as if they were all lined up one after another, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is able to judge all of them simultaneously, as the pasuk is over here. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, of course, is in Tilim. Yeah, ha yotzer yachad libam, ha meivin el kol maaseihem. In other words, God creates their hearts, all of them together at the same time, and He looks into their deeds. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is able, with one glance at the entire multitude of human beings, to determine what should be the fate of each and every human being on Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk, remember, we say it's every Shabbos, we say Mandu Tzadikim, this is where it comes from, okay?
Yeah.
Uva Chag, and of course remember over here, Chag normally means what? And Sukkos, right? Nidonin Alamayim. Judgment is passed concerning whether there'll be plentiful water during the course of the year or not. Okay? Wish that Eretz Yisrael would have a lot more water than it's had until now. They did have rain last Friday night. It rained during the night. But, you know, it's only it's all too modest the rainfall in comparison to the needs of the country. Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know where the line is at this particular point, but obviously they need a lot more. There's no question about it. As far as I know, they're still reciting the special prayers on Shemoneh Esrei, praying to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to stop the drought and to give water, right? So now the Gemara asks the following question. Now it says, Hai Tavua. What kind of tavua, what kind of grain are we talking about when we say that on Pesach judgment is passed on them? So it says, Ilemo, if we are to say, Hotavu de Kayoma, the grain that's already there standing. So it says, Kohane Harpatke de Adu Allah, Amos Islam. Look, they've already been subject to all kinds of things that have happened to them. In other words, whether it's they've been subject to drought, whether they've been subject to rain. You understand? So in that case, when was judgment passed on them? It's too late, in other words, to pass judgment on them right now. Because we have to say that if the grain is already there, then when Amos is them, when was judgment passed upon them? So, of course, we have to say, obviously, that would belong to what year? Would belong to the previous Pesach, right? So what grain are we talking about now when we say judgment is going to be passed? So it says, Ela Tevua Temizdara. But, of course, what we're talking about now is grain that first is being planted, you know, seeded, okay? And so that, it needs all the brachas of the Rebbeinu Shalom in order to grow. So, the Gemara asked the following question. The Meimor, are we to say then that Dachad Dino Nisdano, that in reference to all these things, there's only one judgment passed by the Rebbeinu Shalom. In other words, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, all human beings, that's the only time that he passes judgment on, right? Or are we to say that on Pesach, this is the only time that he passes judgment upon grain? Or that on Shavuos, let's say, it's the only time in the year that the Rebbeinu Shalom passes judgment on the fruit of the tree? Or the last case, in other words, that of Sukkos, is that the only time that the Rebbeinu Shalom makes a judgment concerning the how much water will fall, will be granted? So, the whole Tanya, didn't we learn as follows? First of all, that Tavua, She'ira bo keri o oynes kodem ha-Pesach, nidonis le-she'avar, but la'acha ha-Pesach nidonis le-habo. Okay. In the case of grain, if something bad happened to it, that's keri. Keri over here means something bad, as Tosva says over there. You take a look on the side over there, you see where it says She'ira bo keri? So it says Mikra. Lashon, right? Ulai Yikore, that's the pasuk you know about Bilam over there. Inami Lashon Koshi. In other words, you can understand either it's something that might happen unexpectedly because it happened accidentally, or it might be understood, he says, as the language of harshly, severely, or something like that. So he says, all right, let's take it in the second sense. Assuming then that, okay, if grain suffered, right, suffered either a carry, in other words, some accidental thing, such as a lack of water or a drought or whatever it was, a hot, dry spell, or onus could mean violence, in other words, that human beings perform violence to it. I mean, they pluck it before the time, or they tear it down, or they burn it, or something or other. And if this is before Pesach, right, Kodem HaPesach, then in that case, what do we have to say? We have to say that Nidonis L'She'avar, that the judgment concerning this was already passed, you know, in the previous Rosh Hashanah, the previous Pesach, right? Previous Pesach. La'acha Pesach. If, however, these things happen after Pesach, then Nidonis L'Habo. Then we have to say that on Pesach it was destined for the future that it should happen this way. All right. And how about human beings? Adam She'ira bo keri or oynes kodem Yom Kippurim. In the case of a person where something bad happened to him prior to Yom Kippur, then Nidon L'She'avar, right? Then we are to say that this was already determined when? On the high holidays of the previous year, right? But if it happened L'Acha Yom Kippurim, but if it happened after Yom Kippur, then in that case we say Nidon L'Habo. This was a judgment that was passed on the new Yom Kippur. So, Omar Rava, so Rava said, Shmaminei, if that's the case, Trei Dinim Isdada. Then we see that there isn't just one judgment, one day of judgment, but rather 2 days of judgment. It could be for this year, or it could be the previous year, whatever it may be, but there are
more than one time when judgment is passed. So Omar Abaye, so Abaye said, Hilkach, if that's the case, he says, Ki chazi inish the matzlach zara afla, right? If he sees that the slow ripening seed is coming out very, very well, then he says, lick them, let him hurry up, the lizra harpa, then let him do the, you know, the fast growing grain. In other words, there are two different types, right? So let him plant it immediately and not wait for what? Let him not wait until later, because the ad the moti limdayne kadim solik meri. Okay. So because if he waits, he's liable that the good judgment that we see in the first crop will depart from him. In other words, if he waits too long in order to do it, then he'll hit, you know, the bad spell rather than the good spell. So that therefore he shouldn't wait, but take advantage when he sees that the signs are good, are prospering, you know, that this is when he should plant the second group itself. All right. So this is a statement that we have, and you know, it's practical advice, he says. Okay. So the Gemara comes and it says, now Masnissen, he says, our Mishnah, lo Rabbi Meir, we cannot say that the author of the statement that we have at the top of this page is the teaching of Rabbi Meir, the lo Rabbi Yehuda, nor is it Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, the lo Rabbi Yossi, nor is it Rabbi Yossi, the lo Rabbi Nosson, nor is it Rabbi Nosson. Why? D'tanya, because we have different opinions that they uttered. One is as follows. Hakol nidonin b'Rosh Hashanah. Statement says over here that everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Which, of course, over here means what? The first of Tishrei. Okay? U'gezar din shalohem nechtam b'yom ha-kippurim. And the final judgment, you know, the final decree is sealed when? On Yom Kippur, Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Needless to say, this is a tradition that we hold as far as human beings are concerned, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has a different opinion. He says, Hakol nidonin b'Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzadin shalahem nechtam kol echad v'yechad bizmano. But as far as when the final decree is issued for each one of them, it would be in its own proper time. The Pesach al Hatzuah, for example, even though on Rosh Hashanah the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decided whether this is going to be a good year for the grain or not, but nevertheless the decree is held in abeyance until when? Until Pesach. That's when the final decree is issued. Okay? Batzeres, likewise on Shavuos, al peros ha'ilon, for the fruit of the tree, and b'chag, and on sukkahs, nidon elamayim, right? But he added as follows, the odom nidon, human beings, are judged by Rosh Hashanah, right? Ugezadin shelo nechtam b'yom ha'kippur. And the final decree, as far as human beings are concerned, is sealed on Yom Kippur. Okay, so what is the difference between one and the other? One of them says, right, by Yom Kippur everything is judged, and now Rabbi Yehuda comes and he says, no, the final decree depends upon whether it's a human being, whether the final decree is on Yom Kippur, or whether it is fruit or grain or water and so on, which is held in abeyance for the proper time. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, he comes along and he says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says as follows, Odom nidon bechol yom. Human beings are judged every single day, not just one day during the year, but they are judged every single day. In other words, the implication of Rabbi Yossi would be that the Mishnah says that there's only one day of judgment as far as human beings are concerned, right? But Rabbi Yossi says, no, human beings are judged every single day. Shenemar, we have a verse in the book of Job which says, Vatif gedenu labikorim, in other words, and you literally visit him, in other words, you take note of him every single morning.
Rabbi Nosson, Omer, he comes along and he says, I'll go you one better, he says. The same pasuk continues and it says that what? Der goyim tivchanenu, that every moment a person is being judged. Therefore, Rabbi Nosson Omer, he says, Odom nidon bechol shoah. Human beings are judged every single hour. Shenemar, as it is said, l'rigoyim tivchonenu, that you examine him moment by moment. Right? So that, therefore, human beings, I mean, we shouldn't feel that the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at us once a year and forgets about us, but rather we should remember that every day and every moment we are held responsible for our actions, so that the Rebbeinu Shalom will pass judgment on us. And if you say now, the Olam Rabbi Yehuda, he, that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda, right? The Chi Katani Masnisen Agazadin, and therefore, what is the Mishnah at the top of this page talking about? It's talking about when it is that the decree is finally put into effect, right? So, if that's the case, Kasha Odam, then it's a Kasha about human beings, because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he still maintains what? That there's one day of judgment, right? Whereas along comes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson, who say, no, 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 human beings are judged every day or even every moment. Okay? So Omar Rava. So Rava said, let's see, did I skip something? So Omar Rava, Hi, Tano Devei Rabbi Shmuel Hi. So he says, okay, the Mishnah is actually of the school of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, because there is a the school of Rabbi Yishmael taught as follows, Be'arbo Perokim Onam Didon, right? That there are four different occasions during the course of the year where the world is judged. The Pesach Alatvua, on Pesach for the grain, Batzeres al peiros ha'ilon, and Shuas for the fruit of the tree, Bachag nidon al amayim, and on Sukkot, judgment is passed concerning the water that is going to fall, rainfall and other forms of water. The Adam nidon b'Rosh Hashanah, and as far as human beings are concerned, they are judged on Rosh Hashanah. The Zadin shelo nechtam b'yom ha'kipurim, and the decree concerning the fate of the human being is sealed on Yom Kippur. So that, of course, would be in consonance with that. The Chi Katane, and when we are learning Masnisan, you know, the Mishnah that we're doing, so Atchilas Din, we're talking only about when is the beginning of judgment passed upon them, but presumably what? Presumably, judgment is a process that continues even beyond, you know, the first date that we mentioned. Okay, I'm getting very hoarse, so I think I'll call a halt at this particular point, and we shall continue. Yes, Hashem. Tess Zion, right, Omid Aleph, in the middle of the page. Okay? All right. So, as we heard before in our review, there are differences of opinion as to when are people judged, and also about the agriculture and so that they follow up on this. And the first question that they ask, if you remember, that there was a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson, right? Both of them maintain what? They both maintain that judgment is passed every single day. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam reviews our record every day, okay? Not just once on Rosh Hashanah and that's it for the entire year, but every day. This is what they say. Okay, so that being the case, so now the question that the Gemara asks is as follows, okay? Okay, it says, Yeah, Omar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said as follows. He says, my Talmud, Rabbi Yossi, what is the reason of Rabbi Yossi, who of course maintained that we are judged every single day? He says, he's already expressed the reason, and it's based upon a pasuk that he quotes. And what is the pasuk? Pasuk, remember, comes from the book of Job, and it says, and you judge him every single morning. Okay? So the Gemara continues, and it says, Anan hochi kambina, it says, that's not our question. We're not questioning, you know, why he says that, since, you know, he has that posik. But this is my question, Gemara says. My Tamil Uramak Rabbi Nosson. Why didn't he say the same as Rabbi Nosson? Rabbi Yossi, yeah. Rabbi Yossi, remember, yes, he says every day, right? Whereas, what did Rabbi Nosson say? He said, every moment a person is being judged by the Rebbeinu Shalom, right? Because it says, you know, the pasuk that he quoted over there is, that's the remainder of that verse, Lirgoyim Tifchaninu, which means, and you examine him every single moment. So, the question is, if that's the case, why didn't he say the same thing as Rabbi Nosson? In other words, if we're being judged, right, and we're being judged daily, so why do we have to have two conflicting opinions, one saying every day and the other one saying every moment, right? So he says, Bechino, the second phrase which says Vatifchenenu, and you know, you examine him. Bechino today is an examination. Okay? You examine him, he says he only be albahi, implies that you know, the Rebbeinu Shalom is taking a look at his record in general. So they say Pekita Dami, Iyuni be albahi. So he says, yeah, but there's no real difference in meaning between Bechino, to judge, and Pekida, literally to visit or to remember, because examining and remembering, you know, they're all part of the same process. So Ela Omer Rabbi Yochisto, so rather Rabbi Chisto comes up with a different meaning, that is, with a different verse actually, for Talmid Rabbi Yossi, for Rabbi Yossi. Judgment, you know, who says that every day. It says he doesn't need the pasuk that was quoted by Rabbi Nosson, right? But he has his own pasuk. What is it? He says, it's mehoch. It's another pasuk that says, La'asos mishpat abdo, to do. This happens to be in the prayer of King Solomon, by the way.